The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Brethren, I'd like for us to start this message today by asking a question. And I address the question to the Church of God as a whole or at large. And the question is, how aware are we of what the future holds for mankind just prior to the return of Jesus Christ? I mean, think about it this way. Surely we are close to the return of Messiah, right? I mean, after all, God's church has been expecting this event for some 2,000 years. I mean, when you really look at it, even the world has been waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Apostle Paul told the Romans that the whole creation is waiting for God's sons to be manifest, to be made known. And these sons are referred to as first fruits over in 1 Corinthians 15. So go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll come back to Romans in just a moment. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, we begin. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. It's in the book of Romans chapter 8 where we are told that the creation is waiting for those sons to be made manifest, to be made known. So go with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. Romans 8 and verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature, it says in King James, many of the other translations actually says, the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Eventually, the church will be ready, and Jesus Christ will return in great glory and power. We're told that. Go with me. We'll see that in Matthew 24 and verse 30. Matthew 24 and verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So, brethren, I think we need to ask another question. What is going to happen, prophetically speaking, between now and our Savior's second coming? What's going to happen, prophetically speaking? What's going to take place? Well, I think about it this way. While I think it is rare to find people who are genuinely interesting in discussing the terrible events that are prophesied to happen just before and just prior to Jesus' second coming, there are some other preachers or teachers or whatever you want to call them who use these prophetic events as a form of a scare tactic. Even true believers might think about it and feel some high level, significant level of anxiety. So I think another question that we need to ask is, what about us? What about you and me? What about us? Are we feeling anxious about the future? Or perhaps some of us are complacent about the future. Like, whatever it is, it is. So where are we in this? Perhaps it has been a long, long time since some of us have even reviewed the prophecies of the last days. I don't know, maybe it just seems easier, more peaceful to not think about the prophetic future at all. And yet, at the same time, we also are aware that God's word tells us to watch. It also tells us to overcome until the end. Revelation chapter 2, Revelation 2 and verse 26. Revelation 2, 26. And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give him power over the nations. And now see with me Matthew 24 and verse 13. Matthew 24 and verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So, brethren, please realize we, as the people of God, we cannot afford to be caught off guard. And by that, I mean this is truly serious business that we're talking about here today. Matthew 24 and verse 42. Matthew 24 and verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. Brethren, none of us can take the chance of falling asleep and not being prepared as five of the ten virgins were not prepared. We see that prophetically speaking over in Matthew 25, one chapter ahead. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to ten virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Are we looking for the coming of the bridegroom? Of course we are. Of course we are. As a church, we are. As individuals, of course we are. And so they went forth to meet the bridegroom, and five of them were wise and five were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They were not prepared. That is the point, and that's the point that I'm making. Verse 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But five were wise, and five were unwise. Five were prepared, and five were not prepared. And in the book of Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul makes the statement, he says, there must be a falling away before that day comes upon us. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed the son of perdition. There's going to come a falling away. A falling away from what? A falling away from how bad the world is? No, this is talking about how bad the church is going to potentially get for some people. A falling away, that's talking about the church. So we ask, what will that day be like, and what will the falling away be like? I have entitled this message, Watch. Watch. Here in the book of Thessalonians, the word, the Greek word that is used here for the phrase falling away comes from one word, and that word is apostasia. We call it apostasy. The English word is apostasy. This word has been used in Scripture to mean a leaving from a previous standing. One of the synonyms of the word is from the word revolt. So we begin to see a picture about this falling away. It also has the sense or the feeling of a departure or a rebellion and a forsaking of the truth. And the forsaking of the truth, that's referring to truth of the gospel, truth of God's overall plan for mankind, truth of who and what is God, and even truth of the importance of a relationship with God that comes only through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, please make no mistake about it. God, in His Word, has recorded some very crucial details of vital end-time prophecies. He has provided spiritual, scriptural witnesses of end-time events, and the great apostasy or apostasia is one of those important events that is seen throughout the Scriptures. So, brethren, as we go through this teaching today, we need to keep God's wisdom and God's purposes in the forefront of our thinking. I mean, think about it this way. God knows it all. He knows it all from beginning to the end. He knows it all. And He certainly has recorded it for us in the pages of the Bible. So if we're told to watch, we need to be watching what He has told us to do. And one of the most important things that we can do to ensure our own safety is to have and to maintain a loving, obedient relationship to God and to His Word, to the Bible. Please remember, brethren, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, He can and He will take care of those who truly love Him. That's what He tells us. Go with me back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 10. One verse, Deuteronomy 5 and verse 10. I'm going to read this from the New American Standard Bible. Deuteronomy 5 verse 10. But showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Now go with me to the book of Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. He knows. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows it. And He has said, what I have declared, this is where He has declared it. He says, it's going to happen because I said so. This wonderful Bible that God has, and I'm going to use the word written and purpose for us, is a completely unique, important book. It is truly one of a kind. And it is not a creation of any man. Go with me to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1 verse 21. 2 Peter 1 verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I want to read that same verse in the NIV, New International Version. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And that is a better translation even than the King James. Even though the King James is clear, this one's clear. The Word of God that He has preserved for us is life-sustaining. We know that because, well, Jesus said so. Go with me to John 6, John chapter 6 and verse 63. John 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickens or that makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Spirit that quickens, that makes alive. The words that Jesus speaks to us from the pages of the Bible, they are spirit. They quicken us and they are life. And in Luke 21, Jesus also stated that we can it says in the King James, possess our souls with patience. Go with me and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Luke 21 in verse 19. Luke 21 in verse 19. In your patience, possess you your souls. Revised Standard Version says, by your endurance, you will gain your lives, or could be souls. Jesus also told his disciples that they were to pray, and he says that you enter not into temptation. And brethren, what we need to understand is from that statement that Jesus made is that advice, that statement holds truth for us today as the church of God also. Luke 22 and verse 40. Luke 22 and verse 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, why would he have said that if it wasn't something that could actually happen? Remember, he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. Unless there come a great falling away, all of those things would be explained through this verse. Pray that you enter not into temptation. You see, God's word is not to be ignored for any reason. For any reason. And definitely one of those reasons is because God told us to watch and pray. He told us to do that. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now there's a whole sermon in that one statement, but we'll move on from here. God the Father and Jesus Christ, they absolutely need us not to allow ourselves to be caught off guard and succumb to the evil deceit at the end of this age. It's there. It's going to happen. It's more and more. We're hearing some of that in the sermonette. Remember, God's word records that many will be deceived. Matthew 24 and verse 24. Matthew 24, 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, is that talking about the world, or is that talking about the church? I'm talking about the church. Go with me to Revelation 12 and verse 9. Most of you will know this verse. I want to read it in the New American Standard Bible. Revelation 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, and the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. A couple of other translations, what we would refer to maybe as alternate translations, use the phrase, who deceives the inhabitable earth. What's implying is everyone has the potential of being deceived. That's what it's saying. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels or demons were thrown down with him. So if we're told to watch and pray, and clearly we are, let's consider a few of the details that God wants us to remember as we watch, and as we also could add to that and pray, even though I've simply titled it as watch. Matthew 24 and verse 12. And because iniquity or lawlessness shall abound, and that word abound means grows bigger. I mean, there's a lot of different ways this word could take on meaning and expand itself. Because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, as I'm sure all of us are very much aware, the earth's inhabitants who are going to be deceived are already full of iniquity. lawlessness. And the world's ideas of love are already cold. So let me go back and read that verse again. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Therefore, this verse, excuse me, therefore, this verse must include people who claim to be believers in the Bible and think themselves as true believers. Or do we think this is just referring to the world? That idea is actually made clearer over in the book of Mark, where it indicates that there are people in the church of God, who at least attend the church of God, that we call brothers, who will portray other brothers to be put to death. Mark 13, verse 12. Mark 13 and verse 12. Mark 13, verse 12. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death. This is not talking about people in the world. This is talking about the church of God. You have to understand this in the context. And the father shall betray the son to death. I'm reading in words, but this is what it is stating. And children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. At this time, brethren, I want to simply list, and I use the word list there because I'm not going through scriptures at all, even though I can back every one of these points up with biblical scriptures, references, whatever you want to call it. I want to list some of the characteristics of the wicked people in the prophesied end time. These are some of the characteristics of what wicked people are going to be like. This is also describing the way some who attend the church of God are going to be like. This is what is so scary about all of this. I think I have somewhere between 25 and 30 of them. Don't try to write them down because I'm going to just list them out for you. Just be somewhat overwhelmed with this. People with a form of godliness but denying power. People who actually hate God, they blaspheme Him. People who take His name in vain. People who have no real conscience. People who openly oppose the truth. People of depraved minds. People who will resist sound doctrine. People who will be following their own lawless devices. People who are unthankful. People who deliberately seek out false teachers who will teach them what they want to hear. Do you recognize that many of these are just rewording of scriptures? Because this is all this is. People who will be turned away from truth and follow myths instead. People who introduce heresies that deny the real Jesus. People who will be leaders who do shameful things. People who are lovers of money. People who will be greedy. People who will exploit for money. People who blaspheme, talking about things they do not understand. People who will be like animals that follow instinct rather than truth. People who will carouse in broad daylight. People with eyes full of adultery. People who will seduce the unstable. People who will boast and are arrogant, people who love the wages of wickedness, people who are disobedient toward parents, people who despise authority, people without self-control, people whose hearts are turned away from their children, and children whose hearts are turned away from their parents, people who are controlled by lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And brethren, as I stated, this is a list of some of the characteristics of wicked people in the prophesied end time. There are many, many more characteristics, and there are many, many other iniquities that is going to increase. You think we need to be on guard? You think we need to watch? I think we are. Matthew 24 and verse 12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Brethren, think about it this way. If God's people are surrounded by such evil, and we are, we can see that God's protection and that His deliverance is completely indispensable. We cannot get along without it. We have to be close to God. We have to have that personal relationship with God. Love of God, love of truth, love for His work, love of fellow brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. While our physical and spiritual deliverance is of God, even with all of the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, we also need to make ourselves ready for the onslaught of deceit and wicked-minded men and their lies. So instead of being scared or afraid, we are to be prepared. And that comes by watching. It comes by a lot of other things, but in the context of this message, it comes by watching. Please also remember, Satan has had a long, long time to prepare his tactics against us, honing in his skills, honing in his craft, if you want to look at it in that way. And brethren, please also understand, in this advanced technological world in which we live, evil can be quickly manipulated, multiplied, and distributed. All you got to do is watch television. All you got to do is go on the internet. All you got to do is pay attention to what's going on in the world, and you see that this statement is true. I mean, Satan, he is the builder of weapons of mass destruction. Those that are physical, those that are emotional, biological, psychological, and spiritual. We need to be aware of the deadly tactics, and we need to be properly prepared. Go with me to Ephesians 6 and verse 11. Many will have this. You know exactly where we're going. Ephesians 6 and verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Make no mistake about it, brethren. The devil is looking for every advantage that he can get against you and me and the people of God. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage for us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So let's not be ignorant of those wicked devices that he would use against us. And they are many, and they're rapidly growing, getting bigger and getting more and more out there all the time. God's enemy has been working to prepare for the last days as he realizes that his time but is short. It's a short time. Revelation 12 and verse 12. New International Version. Revelation 12, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury or wrath because he knows that he has but a short time, that his time is short. So, brethren, please realize his tactics can be tailor-made for individuals or it can be tailor-made for a particular group of people. We've, over the years, looked at and marveled at why there have been some, not going to name names or any of that, but Church of God groups. You got all these people there, and they all believe this one thing, and we look at it and we go, how do all these people actually come to believe this? A whole group of people could believe something that we can look at and say, we read out of the Scripture, we know this is not true. Why do we know it and why don't they know? The devil tailor-made for individuals or for groups. He will lie and deceive. He will divide. He will discourage. And he will sidetrack us. Get us off of the track in which we want to be on, which is God's way of life. Getting our noses out of the pages of the Bible. Something comes up. Well, I didn't have time to really study God's word. What do you mean we don't have time to? Brethren, we're in a situation today that we don't have time not to. We can't afford not to keep our noses in the pages of the Bible. So we ask, what are we to do to prepare? Jesus said that we could recognize what he called wolves by their fruit. If people are living sinful lives, beware. We're not to judge, obviously. However, we are to be able to discern the difference between good and evil. In the same chapter where Jesus tells us not to judge, which is Matthew chapter 7, he also wants us to discern. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. Matthew 7, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are furious or ravenous or vicious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Only recognize them if we're actually keeping in contact and looking through the pages of the Bible to know these characteristics that are already listed. Are people with those kind of... It's not judging. It's discerning. Going on here, he says... He uses this incredible analogy here, that story. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And it's a ridiculous question. The answer is, of course not. You know, well, why? Because you can discern, you know. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Verse 20. Thus, or therefore, by their fruit you will recognize them. The wolves. The people who have these characteristics of wicked people that are going to that are prophesied to be at the end of the prophesied age. As true believers, brethren, we need to fellowship with others who are serious about living God's way of life. I mean, We cannot be caught up in any kind of close relationships with people who just simply claim to live by every word of God and yet they don't. We don't have that much time. Jesus knew the difference between those who love God and those who really do not. Revelation 2 and verse 2. Revelation 2 and verse 2. I know their works and their labor and their patience and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And you have tried them that say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. Then, brethren, with Jesus living in us, and he is, we know this, Galatians 2:20, I'm not even going there, we read this. Yeah, in the context, it applies to something else, but the verse can stand in itself because of principles throughout the scriptures. With Jesus living in us by the Holy Spirit, we can be sure that he knows the difference. And then when we fellowship with God's true children, we are actually fellowshipping with God the Father in Jesus Christ. Go with me to 1 John 1 and verse 3. 1 John 1 verse 3, and we see that. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So when we're together and we're fellowshipping with other people who are in the track of where God is, Jesus Christ living in us, we're fellowshipping with Jesus Christ and God the Father. That's what it says. That's what it says. Again, brother, make no mistake about it. The prophecies will come to pass. They're going to happen. And we must be thanking God for the victory that is already possible. God has told us so much about his victory. There is much for us to do as God gives us eyes to see what is coming and what we must do to be ready and prepared individually. It's not just for the church. It's at an individual level that we need to be aware of this. Let us be wholly, completely prepared, fully aware, full of patience, perseverance, hope, faith, and faithfulness, thanking God and praying continually. 1 Peter 4, verse 3. 1 Peter 4 and verse 3. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7. Sorry. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Brother, thank God that victory is already possible as God has told us about his victory. You've heard this statement before. We read to the end of the book and God wins. God wins. So, brethren, let each one of us be wholly prepared. Let us each be full of patience, full of hope, full of faith, full of hopefulness, and full of loyalty to our awesome and loving God. Let me conclude this message today by us going to Luke 21. Luke 21 and verse 36. Luke 21 and verse 36. And I'm going to read this from the NIV. Luke 21, 36. But always be on watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Watch. That's what we're told. Watch. The Aaronic blessing, And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you all, brethren, as we watch. Happy Sabbath. God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.